If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Some months ago, I heard a message, and it was kind of a message slash testimony. And I thought, boy, that is a message that people really, really need to hear. And so I've just kind of thought about it for several months and thought about how I might bring a similar message. And it's, you know, last few weeks I've really brought some messages that are very convicting. And this, I don't know if this one's convicting so much as it is. It has the potential to maybe hurt some feelings. You know, nothing I've ever done before in my life. But it's a difficult message for some to listen to, but it is an important message for people to hear. So would you stand with me as we read from John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, that the Holy Spirit would go out onto YouTube and to Facebook and any place anybody is watching today, Lord, and that you would touch hearts, Lord, that people would know that your will for their life, Lord, your desire for their life is that they would be healed. And so you come to us and you ask us the question, do you want to be healed? Lord, I pray that you bring your anointing this morning as I preach, Lord. Lord, that people would hear this important message. In your holy, precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to address a particular issue today, the need to be healed. Not of sin, not of some physical ailment, but healing from the past, from trauma, healing from abuse, healing from anxiety and depression, healing from the feeling of not having any worth in the world, healing from the trauma that keeps you from having real relationships and a meaningful life free of pain and shame, healing from the cost of the sins that you have committed. Now, some people are going to think I'm insensitive and mean for preaching this message. You will think I don't get it and I don't understand. And you can't imagine how many times I have been told, you don't get it, you don't understand. I've been screamed at and told, if you could only know what I've been through, then you would understand why I can't get over what has happened to me. And please understand that this message is not about salvation. It is about healing. It's about the issues we're talking about today are things like wholeness and fruitfulness, life lived out from under the weight of the past and the traumatic events of your life. It's about receiving the complete work of God in your life, not simply being saved from hell. How many of you understand salvation means so much more than just simply not going to hell? Amen. The whole gospel means that you are completely transformed in every aspect in your life by the power of Jesus. But you see, there's a generation of people who have been delivered from Egypt, but they're wandering around in the wilderness. They keep looking back to Egypt. They keep looking back to that place of slavery, and they're ruled by it. But there is a promised land for you to enter into. But instead of entering in, they aimlessly wander around in the wilderness of their past. I remember one gentleman who was dealing with a situation that had upset him. As I talked with him, I knew the root of the real problem was unresolved issues from his past, not what was currently happening. As he threw his temper tantrum and pity party, I told him, "One of these days, you're going to have to forgive and let go of the past." He said to me, "I will never let it go." I then told him, "Then you will forever be doomed to feel this pain, and you will forever continue to be wounded by every difficult situation you find yourself in until you forgive, until you let go, and you find healing." Now, God's promises are, there's a lot of them in regards to healing, and especially to the brokenhearted and to those that are wounded in spirit. So the Bible tells us that God promises us healing. Listen to a few verses. Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. 2 Kings 25. Thus says the Lord, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. And then finally, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so listen, God's promise. If you are broken in heart, if you are wounded in spirit, if you feel like there's this great burden on you, he will come and he will lift that from you and he will heal you. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. Say amen. This morning, my main text comes from the story of the Pool of Bethesda. Now, keep in mind, one of the principles that I have taught over and over and over again through the years is that God teaches important spiritual truths, and in this case, emotional ones, through physical things. In today's story, we will see emotional healing demonstrated through a physical one. As we read earlier, it was at Bethesda that many people afflicted with various physical conditions would come in hopes of being healed. At times, we read, the waters of the pool would begin to bubble up. And the belief was that when the waters would become stirred up, that the first one to get into the pool would be healed. And the physical afflictions these people suffered are a picture of the things that ail so many people emotionally and spiritually today. Back to John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. Now in Aramaic, Bethesda means a house of grace. And in Hebrew, it's called a house of mercy. Now, we know exactly where this was in Israel, and you can actually see it today because it still exists. The pool is still there. Verse 3, in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And so I want you to picture this, if you can, in your mind's eye. Around this pool are these five colonnades or porches with kind of a roof over them. And under the shelter of these porches, there was a multitude of people. They had every kind of affliction that you can imagine. Everyone waiting day after day after day, sitting there just hoping that today is the day that they would be healed. Everywhere you looked, someone was waiting, wishing to be healed. Now, occasionally, sometimes as I understand it, not even once a year, sometimes, I guess it would be several years between stirrings, the pool would begin to bubble up. And again, it was believed that whoever got in first would be healed. Again, as I understand it, it didn't happen very often. And even if someone got healed every year or two, the majority never did. And so for 38 years, this one man had been laying there at the pool. And if you can think about it, what a tragic existence. Stuck in that place, night after night, day after day, laying on a mat, just hoping that somehow the next time the pool began to bubble up, he would be the first one in. Imagine how many nights he had laid there wishing, hoping that tomorrow would be the day that somehow he would beat everybody else into the waters. He'd likely been there since he was a child. And here's an interesting observation. His entire life, 38 years, every day and night for 38 years, was consumed by his brokenness. Now, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or single anyone out, but I can't tell you how many people I have known in my life that describes. Every day, every night, year after year, consumed by the past, consumed by the hurt, never moving forward, never able to get past the brokenness they have experienced. Here's something else I've observed. When all you do is sit around and talk about or think about your issue, your pain, your woundedness, your past, eventually, you will identify yourself by that issue. It becomes who you are. Now, trauma does that naturally. When we have a traumatic event happen on our life, it shapes us, it changes the way our brain thinks about things, the way we react. But we also do it to ourselves as we dwell and live in that past over and over and over again. Christine Kane says to this man, imagine how frustrating it would be there to be there laying, looking at a future you can't touch, looking at a healing you can't reach. 4 decades of his life were spent hoping that he would somehow be healed. She says, metaphorically speaking, this is where many of us are at here at church. We're laying on our backs, perspective skewed, wishing we could be the one healed at the pool, wishing we were the ones the sermon applied to. Yet somehow we're stuck on our back week after week, month after month, year after year, and suddenly it's 4 decades later and nothing ever changes. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Jesus walks in. Again, as I just read, the Bible says he knows this man has been there for a long, long time. He walks over to him and he asks him what had to be, or at least seemed to be, the rudest, most obnoxious question he could ask him. Do you want to be healed? This guy had been laying there for 38 years. What do you mean? Does he want to be healed? Of course he wants to be healed. What are you thinking, Jesus? It seems a bit obvious. Like, you don't have to be God to figure out this guy wants to get healed, right? And yet Jesus asked him, "Hey, do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." Notice how the man answers the Lord. He doesn't say, "Why, yes, I want to be healed." He doesn't even get sarcastic, which is probably what I would have done. "No, I'm just working on my tan." He starts the blame game. He starts giving excuses. "I try, sir, but I don't know if you know this, but I can't walk. And everybody else rushes to the water before me. I can't get there. It's not my fault. I can't get in time. If somebody would just be here to carry me, and if everybody else would just wait, then I could be the first one in and get healed. But it's not my fault. I'm going to quote Christine Kane again. She says, people who have issues would rather be accepted rather than changed. They want to be affirmed rather than changed. They want to be told that they are all right rather than healed. They want to be comforted in their misery rather than changed. You see it. You see people get their identity from their condition. This is how I am. This is my condition. This is what it is. My whole identity is framed around whatever issue it is that I have. And you know, the Bible is filled with broken people. I don't know if you know this, but our churches are filled with broken people. And it's not a surprise because the world is filled with broken people. When we talk about this issue of emotional healing and healing from the past, what is surprising to me is that there are not more people in the church finding healing. And believe me, I want them to find healing. That's why I'm preaching this message. I want to name off some people we find in the Bible who had a big issue in their life when they encountered Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood. The woman caught in adultery. The man full of leprosy. The woman who was divorced 5 times. The demoniac. This man was filled with a legion of demons, and you think you got issues. The blind man from birth. The man with the withered hand. The boy with an unclean spirit. The woman with a disabling spirit. The rich ruler. His issues were a bit different, but it was still keeping him from a right relationship with God. It was still an issue. The blind beggar, the man who was lame for 38 years, and on and on and on and on. Now, each of these people share a few things in common. First, if you haven't figured it out, they all had an issue in their life. They were never quite the same issues, but they had issues. They each had some form of brokenness, trauma, or significant thing that held them back in life. They each had something that they needed healing from. It might have been physical, it might have been spiritual, it might have been emotional, but they were so consumed by this issue, they were known by it. Second, did you notice we don't know their names? All we know is their issue. It's an interesting observation. They were all identified, known by their issues. And this is what happens when people who do not heal from trauma or the effects of sin, they become identified by whatever issue they have. It becomes the dominant persona to the point where that is who everybody thinks of when they encounter this person. We don't see Bob, we see the alcoholic. We don't see Trevor, we see the addict. We don't see Sue, we see the broken heart and open womb that bleeds out everywhere she goes and drives everybody away from her. But the reality is not only do we identify others by their issues and their trauma and their spiritual wounds, but you will also identify yourself by that issue. How do you identify yourself? Abused wife? Abandoned child? Divorcee? Victim? Alcoholic? Addict? The anxiety-ridden wallflower, the depressed downer, orphan, the unwanted son or daughter, the fearful, wounded survivor. You can be so defined by your issue that you no longer even remember your name. How many of you know that the promise of God is that He will give us a new name? Amen. And that's a very significant thing. You see, you're no longer called an abandoned child or an orphan, but a son or daughter of the King. You're no longer called a victim, but a victor. No longer are you known as abused and abandoned, but rather the beloved who is wanted, loved, and cared for. Now, I choose to quote Christine Kane. She was the testimony, this message that I was listening to. Not so much because I wanted to quote exactly what she said, but because she is someone who can spoke to being broken and wounded, as well as healing from her personal experiences. And her testimony, she talked about how for 12 years, from age 4 to her teenage years, she was sexually abused by 4 men on a weekly basis. Later on in life, she found out she was adopted. She learned that she had been abandoned in a hospital at birth by her mother, and that on her birth certificate, it literally said, when it had a line for her name, unknown. She was terribly picked on as a child because she was poor and because of her ethnic background. And she says, I was laying on the mat of brokenness and shame. Everyone understood why I was there. Everyone got down on their knees to comfort me and to affirm me and my brokenness. And she said, that's the world we live in. No matter the issue, no matter the sin, all we're supposed to do is just affirm people. Leave them there on the mat. Comfort them. Affirm them. If we tell someone to get up and walk, if we suggest someone is better off by changing, then we are cruel and we lack compassion. But guess what Jesus did? Jesus walked right up to this man. You know, Christine Kane jokes, she says, he'd have been thrown off of the pastoral comfort council or whatever it is, because he walks up to this man who's been laying there at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, hoping somehow to roll over into the water, and he says, hey man, do you want to be healed? And I imagine it like this. The guy starts making excuses and he says, hey, I'll say it slower. Do you want to be healed? He doesn't get down on the ground and soothe his hurt. He doesn't affirm him in his weakness. He doesn't wait for the right moment to have a conversation about how the man might be able to find healing when he's ready for it. He stands over this lame man and says, do you want to be healed? Yes or no? Do you want to be healed? In the Greek, it literally means, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be delivered from all this stuff in your past? Once again, Christine Kane says, there are a lot of people who would rather lie on the mat than be made whole. Now remember, she is someone who has been there. She has suffered things that most of us can't even imagine. She says there's a lot of people who would rather lie on the mat than be made whole. What Jesus was asking was, do you accept the responsibility that comes with healing? It's a lot easier to lay on a mat and remain a victim for the rest of your life and expect everyone to feel sorry for you. Expect everyone else to do something for you, because there comes responsibility with healing and wholeness. When I heard that, I thought, ouch. That's a big reality check. You must accept the responsibility that comes with healing. What does that look like? What does she mean, the responsibility that comes with healing? It means no longer blaming someone else for your actions. Yes, you were hurt. Yes, you were traumatized. But you see, when you get healed, you can't blame someone else for what you say and do. It's all on you. Get free of the alcohol or whatever keeps you from being productive. And guess what? There's no excuse for not going to work, doing a good job, and being on time, and so on and so on. There is a responsibility to receiving healing. Think of this man's life. Think about how everything was going to change now that he could get up off that mat and walk. He'd probably been a beggar his entire life. People brought him food. People changed his clothes. They did everything for him. Guess what? That was no longer going to be the case. You've been healed. You're a big boy now. You can go to work. And oh my, the responsibility that comes with that healing. I quote Christine Kane because she's experienced what I have not. She can say things that I cannot. She says, I was lying on the mat of unforgiveness for years. I was lying on the mat of bitterness. I was lying on the mat of offense. I was lying on the mat of shame. I was lying on the mat of anger. I was lying on the mat of blame. I was lying on the mat of guilt. And you know what? Everybody understood, because society says, Christine, it's no wonder you're like how you are. It's no wonder you're so angry and bitter, because look, what happened to you? There's a reason for it. There's a justifiable reason for it. So we're just going to keep you on that mat and affirm you in your pain. How many of you know that is not kindness?
That's right.
To leave somebody in their pain is not kindness. It's not kindness to affirm them and to leave them where they are. And that's why the Lord Jesus doesn't get down on the mat with us. But he stands over us and he says, hey, do you want to be healed? He wants you to take up your mat and walk. He wants to heal you from the past. He wants you to walk into the promised land. So Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Now, this is an interesting thing, because the bed was the symbol of the brokenness he had known his entire life. It was the place where he had lived for 38 years. This mat defined who he was. Why would Jesus tell him to get up and take it with him? How many of you understand that when God brings healing, he doesn't somehow erase the past? When God heals you of the trauma, of the wounds that you've had, it's not like you don't remember it anymore. It's still going to be here. God doesn't put you in a time machine and send you back in time so that you can live another life. Those things will always go with you, but they will go with you. You won't be stuck on a mat in one place. Do you see the difference? You pick up your mat and you carry it, and it no longer rules you. It no longer defines who you are. Some people do not want to be healed because their entire identity is wrapped up in their wounds. Some people do not want the responsibility of being healed. Others do not want to be healed because the healing process is painful. Not only do you have to give up your identity of trauma, but you must also forgive. You must also let go. It can be painful. It is painful to open up and talk about abuse. It's scary. It's not easy. It is absolutely frightening. And so we could call healing of this kind rehab of the heart. Now, for anyone who's ever been through rehabilitation after a significant injury or traumatic physical condition, rehab is painful. Amen? Amen. I remember my grandfather, who had a stroke, and he lost the use of his left arm and leg. And for months, I don't know, it's been so long, it may have been years, he underwent rehab to retrain his brain, to regain the use of those limbs. And eventually he was able to walk with a cane, but he never regained any use in his left arm. And I can remember visiting and seeing physical therapists work with him in vain to try to get him to use that left arm. And I can remember the look on his face that said it all. It's too hard. I'm never going to recover. I do not want to do this. It's too painful. I don't want to be healed. And it's the same look I see on so many people's faces as I counsel with them. It's too hard. I'm never going to recover from this. I don't want to do this. It's too painful. I do not want to be healed. Because recovery is painful. But again, Jesus doesn't want you to stay down on that mat. And so he's looking. Think about all the people that he passed by there at the Pool of Bethesda. And he's looking for the one who's ready to go through the pain of the healing process. And yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, the recovery, the rehab, it's no fun. Yes, you have every excuse why you're down and out. But the pain and the trauma you have experienced is not worth ruining the rest of your life. I remember Christine Kane saying, I was abused for over 12 years, but that was 12 years of my past. I'm not going to let it ruin the rest of my life. Your past has caused you enough pain. It's cost you enough of your life already. God wants to restore what the locusts have eaten, so get up and walk. Your past does not have to be your future. Your history does not have to define your destiny. You can be healed, but you have to want it. I was stopped by a man on the street yesterday, reeking of alcohol. He stood there and he told me, Brian, I have to get sober. I have to get into a recovery program. I have to. And I've heard it over and over and over. And I looked at him and I said, let me tell you what has to happen. You actually have to want to be sober. And he looked at me and said, I know, but the alcohol is so strong. And the reality is he doesn't really want to go through the process of recovery. He thinks it's too hard. He thinks it's not worth it, and he could never do it. But let me tell you what you have to believe. You have to believe what God said about your recovery. That he is the one who will heal the brokenhearted. He is the one that will bring strength to the weak. He is the one that has come to set the captive free. So you have to be brave enough to allow the Lord to kill that old identity the enemy has placed on you and allow him to give you a new one. No longer do you have to walk in the past. You can walk in the newness of life. Do you believe what God says? Do you believe in his promises? Do you want to be healed? The answer is yes, then get counseling, get help, forgive and let go, which is about your freedom more than it is about letting somebody else off the hook. Let God raise you up off of that mat. So the broken and wounded and hurting, I say this. The Lord has a glorious future for you that you cannot imagine. There is a promise of healing to lay claim to. There are adventures waiting for you, a promised land to enter into. We didn't read all of it, but we read in John chapter 5 how once that man was healed and he took up his mat, he left the Pool of Bethesda. He had places to go that he could never get to before. And isn't that all what all of us want in life? I've been stuck in this place. I want to go places. I want to have real relationships. I want to have good relationships. I want to do all the things that I see other people doing that I never could do because of my past. Well, that's where God wants to take you. There's love and wholeness reserved for you. And it's a journey, a painful journey to get there, but a journey well worth taking. So this morning, the question is, do you want to be healed? Then take up your bed and walk. Amen. Worship team, would you stand with me this morning? Are you hurting and broken within? Then come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. There's forgiveness, there's healing, and it's all been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you believe it this morning? The altar is open if anyone needs to come down, or just let God minister to you where you are. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.